Hello there.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good.
How'd the doctor visit go?
It went well. You know, I've got the voice is coming back.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You've been on the road since February, huh?
It's a long time, yeah, and I developed a pop?
A pop?
A pop. It's like, it's not a note. You know what singer's notes are, right?
Uh-huh.
Like friction, you get a lump on one vocal cord or two vocal cords.
Yeah.
So, you know, it does weird things. It's like, you know, if it was a reed in a saxophone, you'd throw it away and get another one. But, you know, it's looks good.
Yeah? It doesn't hurt any, does it?
No, it doesn't hurt. It's just like, you know, what happened was we had to cancel three shows.
Mm-hmm.
You just go for a note, and it's just like a bad reed in a horn, you know. All of a sudden, it would just, like, split off and go, you know, you'd either get air or you'd get an octave or you'd get a chord, but you wouldn't get what you were going for, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
that can be frustrating.
Yeah, so it just kind of came on all of, well, I guess it built up and then, anyway, I don't want to dwell on this.
Well, you've been working hard.
Yeah, we've been doing, that's a long tour.
Yeah, you're going to be through, like, July 26th, right?
Well, we got to pick up those gigs now, so.
Hmm.
So I guess, probably somewhere around in that zone, whenever they put the three we missed, have to go back on the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you want to talk about?
Well, you know, you asked me something. I don't know.
Well, I was hoping you'd say the new album.
Okay, I'll talk about that.
Okay. Why don't you tell me how you see this album fits in your progression as an artist? I mean, I have my own theory about this. But,
okay.
But why don't you tell me?
Let's compare theories.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds like the consummate Joni Mitchell album to me.
Well, it's a synthesis.
Uh-huh.
Of ideas, isn't it? I mean,
uh-huh.
It brings a lot of things together. Like, I've done so many interviews on this trip, and I've read so many reviews that I've seen all kinds of opinions, right?
Uh-huh.
Some, like, people, I'll start with other people's opinions. That's what critics usually do before they get to their own, right?
Well, you know, I didn't get a press kit. And all I did was just read some books I have on you from a long time ago, and I've been listening to the album over and over again for 2 days. And so that's what I've got, is my impressions.
Okay, well, what I wanted to do, like, part of the concept was I wanted to anchor the rhythms down a little more. They've been kind of flying, you know, with the jazz excursion, you know, like the Mingus Project, because I don't consider the other things I did jazz so much as, you know, I was joined by people who play jazz, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Took it out into kind of a Jackson Pollock zone, you know, like where people drew lines in the air over white space in an attractive way, but there was no real anchoring of graphic design in a certain way. It was all very abstract expressionist almost, right? So, you know, I wanted to get more minimal, which I think, you know, rock and roll is more like, you know, it's still got a lot of expression, but structurally it's more minimal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to bring it back there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the ideas, there was a lot of summation on love. I wrote a lot of positive love songs, you know, like that expressed a feeling right in an unqualified feeling, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. You know, like no debate, you know.
Right.
Which is a kind of unusual.
Like solid love hits me that way.
Yeah, it's like just real present tense and how you feel right then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like you without saying, oh, but what if and maybe and then again. And
some of the reservations seem to be gone, or that that motif of disappointment seems to have dissipated a bit.
And so, you know, it's got a lot of cheer. It's got a lot of good here in it. I find that in playing these songs in concert, we play a lot of those, the more positive love songs towards the end of the show, and I look, you know, I like the way the show builds, because it gets, builds towards positive energy, almost like a happy ending, you know, which is really nice in performance, because, you know, it gives you a lot of energy at the tag, right?
Were you still doing the acoustic set first? Is that what you're doing?
I only play acoustic guitar on one song.
Really? I thought Charlie said to me last night something about you doing acoustic set.
Well, I play alone. I play acoustic piano on one song and dulcimer, which is acoustic, and I play,
mm-hmm.
but I play electric guitar by myself, which is like acoustic, which is a different sound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell me, you're talking so much about love in an upbeat, cheery way and all that. Does this have anything to do with getting married last November?
It certainly is.
If you don't mind my asking, I mean, you know, here's the woman who wrote songs for Sharon, you know, and said she wouldn't get married, and so many of your songs seem to be about this disappointment and having to choose between being yourself and being with someone else. Or,
well, it's hard to put a, you know, like a hyper-creative person,
uh-huh.
you know, into a permanent relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard enough, in more organized situations. You
mm-hmm.
know, the tedium can eat it up, but, you know, it's just hard to structure coupling in this business. We're all drifting off in different directions all the time, you know, whether you're an actor or a musician, there's, like, separations and so on. And, you know, Larry and I are working together, and we work together really well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Our arguments are just, you know, they're real constructive, and, you know, we get along real good.
Well, do you feel like you've moved to a place where you're more ready for the compromises and the commitment?
Yeah, I do, and, you know, but they... Yeah, it's worth it to me.
Yeah, it's worth it to you now.
Yeah.
That's great to hear you say that.
It's funny, like Sharon Bell, like that, getting back to that song, because we
uh-huh.
do it in the show, and the last verse is probably the only thing in the show that, when I come to it, that seems, like, removed from the chronology of my own life.
Uh-huh.
The last verse, you know, Sharon, you've got a husband.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that line, you know, like, it was the only one that seems like theatrical, you know,
yeah.
like now, not theatrical, but like, you know, like a role rather than a personal statement.
Because you've changed so much.
You know, but what it was when we were kids, she was going to marry, she took voice lessons and performed in adjudicated classical competitions, right? She was the singer and I was, you know, like to be out in the country. So I was going to marry a farmer and she was going to be famous singer, and it was just so peculiar that fate, you know,
mm-hmm.
had these childhood fantasies reversed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen the same thing happen with my girlfriend.
Where one of you would say, maybe, like, I'm going to be a journalist, right? You end up being a journalist.
Well, let's see, where else do I want to go with this record? Let's see, there's a song that kind of sounds like you're talking about my generation, like Chinese Cafe and the medley.
Right.
What are you saying about your generation there? I keep getting images of Hissing of Summer Lawns and that too, as well.
There is a generality to it, you know, like any time that you make a specific statement, there are others who have the same specifics. That's where your generality comes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, but basically I'm addressing myself to an incident,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, just, you know, the backflash in the song is Unchained Melody, and there's also a quote from Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
which has the same melody, pretty much, you know,
mm-hmm.
Tonight Your Mind Completely, and they're almost the same melody. So it's just about backflash is sitting around in jukeboxes, you know, listening to romantic ballads, you know, over a Coca-Cola, you know, and, you know, hanging out, like Happy Days, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a Happy Days kind of joint.
Yeah.
That was, our Chinese cafe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming back and seeing her kids, you know, and slightly teenage, going to the same places that I used to do, the same pool hall, you know, like hanging, some new places
mm-hmm.
have sprung up, obviously, but some of the places are at least in the same zone, they're on the same strip, maybe the management has changed,
mm-hmm.
and because my life has been that of a prolonged adolescence, this industry, you know, gives you, in a way that it is, it's responsible, but to adolescent.
I mean, it gives you permission to be impulsive and reinforces your...
More so than the street life.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I mean, not to say that there aren't compulsive people, you know, living in those circumstances and coloring, you know, coloring housework with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, mainly what it's about is, like, you know, like, change, the passage of time, you know, like, Unchained Melody talks about time going by
mm-hmm.
so slowly, which it does, you know, like when you're sitting in class waiting for school's out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the older you get, time seems to go speeding by. You know, I don't know whether those are illusions or whether it's a physical
mm-hmm.
curve, you know, like whether it's physics or what, you know.
Yeah. Some of the songs on this record sound like you're kind of more objective and maybe just slightly more distant than you used to be. Kind of not so much as your catharsis right then, but looking back at ways that you used to be.
Well, you know, like, I had this friend of mine who was very well educated in a literary way, who used to pass on to me bits and pieces of his knowledge, you know, and one of the things that he said was, you know, whether it's true or not, was that lyric poetry, you know, belongs to your teens and your 20s. Your 30s, you know, begin to produce epic mm. poetry, because everything that you do, you've is a variation on something that you've done before
mm-hmm.
or a few times before or many times before.
It's kind of like rewriting your history, or rewriting your past through new eyes. Constantly.
So, yeah, so everything that happens to you, not that you haven't done it before, but you maybe you're coming in on it on a different tack. You're like, your perspective is shifting
mm-hmm.
on it, you know. You're doing, the actions and everything are the same, but, you know, you're seeing it from different angles all the time, right? So,
mm-hmm.
and then he said, of course, the last thing is the tragedian, you know, which is the final, like, overview, in a way, you know, like, you know, where you sort of withdraw like an eagle, you know,
mm-hmm.
from affairs and see more planetary goings on, you know, but all those like real my feelings, you know, the lyric poetry is like Rambo, you know, he quit writing when he was 19. His stuff
mm-hmm.
was very personal.
A lot of those poets did, yeah.
Yeah, they wrote it all a personal outgushing of their feelings
mm-hmm.
and their reactions, you know. At a certain point, you start to get other points, you know, you start to see yourself aside doing that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of the new wave writing isn't that personal. It's almost as if, you know, they saw that aside and came up with the idea, show us what you see but not what you feel. Like, I feel a lot of a detachment among the new writing, and sometimes it's good because of that, and sometimes it doesn't have any meat, you know?
Yeah.
Like just as people were all engulfed in their personal feelings, like of like the 70s writers, you know,
mm-hmm.
were in danger of being personal to the point where no one else could relate to it. Maybe
yeah,
it
kind of self-indulgent distancing.
Right. You know, that's the line you had to walk. Like, where is it? Where is that line you don't want to cross over where my feelings are thrown back on me, but you don't see yourself in it? If you don't see yourself
mm-hmm.
in it, then it's just kind of a jack-off.
Yeah, the sharing quality isn't
you know?
There as much.
But, like, sometimes, like, I listen to some of the writing, like, the next movement, so
mm-hmm.
to speak, you know, and I, every once in a while something personal crops up in it, and it's,
mm-hmm.
like, really refreshing to me.
Yeah, I wonder how you look at the violent psychedelic punch of the new wave. You know, it's a kind of minimalism in itself, the nursery rhyme lyrics and that sort of thing. And I wonder how you look at that. I feel like an anthropologist sometimes when I go hear punk bands.
Uh-huh.
You know, because part of me remembers that energy from when I was younger, and rock and roll concerts, you know, had this feel to them, like you could come in a costume. You know, whether you dress like that the rest of the week, you know.
Right.
And you could really participate in on a level that you can't in, say, theater, where you sit back and watch, but you're given permission to be a kind of performer in yourself when you get there. And the punks in this town are amazing. I mean, they get up on stage. It's almost, it happens at every concert. loads of them fill the stage and sing with the people, the vocalists. They know all the songs, and they jump off the stage into a crowd of people and do all these incredible gymnastics and acrobatics and land into each other's arms. Of course, it's mostly men doing this. And it's kind of a variation on slam dancing. And they've got this real pagan ritual feel to it. When I go see them, I'm kind of an observer because I don't quite move that fast anymore. My heartbeat just doesn't go that fast, you know, and I kind of like melody, too. But I was curious how you see that kind of music. It's so distant from feeling, yet when I ask them, you know, when I talk to them, well, how do you relate to this? It seems so distant and cold. And they tell me, this is how we feel. I mean, this is how we feel. We feel angry. They're saying it's a feeling. You know, they're saying stoicism is a feeling.
I haven't been, you know, like to the punk clubs that I've been to haven't been quite as radical a spectacle. There was a lot of costumery, you know, but many of it was like, you know, kind of a facelift on something borrowed more than something that, you know, that sounds like to me, what is that movie, the Rocky Horror Show?
Uh-huh.
That's the first time I heard of anything like that developing, that kind of media participation, you know, that.
Mm-hmm.
Some years ago, so what you're describing, I haven't seen anything like that, but I can understand the frustration of it. I understand, when I think of punk music and I put it in an English setting, it makes more sense to me than it does in this culture. That may be naive.
You mean the British
but I can,
youth?
Yeah, I can see their, to me, their dead ends are more apparent to me than they are here. Here I feel the dead ends, you know, because I'm thin-skinned, you know, like in spite of my financial, you know, I'm taken care of in that way, but still, culturally, I feel certain things, although I don't see the specifics, you know, you know what I mean? You feel an apathy or a general tonality slide over cultures from time to time, you know, like...
Well, what about the dead end in music? I mean, that's what a lot of them are saying, that the music reached a dead end. The formulas were just too pat, and they said, "Let's give the instruments to the people who have ideas, not necessarily technicians." And they think that they're getting some guts into that. I feel you feel like you have approached some dead ends at certain points because you kept evolving. You kept going from folk to jazz folk to a rocky kind of jazz to pure jazz.
To me, in a way, they're like the Dadaists, you know, it's like, you know, having discovered that the masters that they admired, when they met them in person, they found them brooding and pedantic, you know, in coffee houses and you know, already into the epic zone, you know, when they were boiling with hot blood and so on and everything, and they had to, you know, sort of thumb their nose at it, you know, so I see it like that as a transitional thing. I mean, Picasso and the Cubists, when they entered into that Cubist, you know, collaborative kind of cult, you know, they had already said, you know, the end has come to modern painting, you know, and yet they continued, and Picasso, you know, found his own voice and continued to work for many years after they decided that. And I kind of relate to it that way. I think, in a way, some things are dead. For instance, you know, I like a certain amount of virtuosity, you know, that, has all kinds of angry fingers pointed at it in view of this new rawness, you know, and a lot of the new rawness is just as formulated and without chops as, you know, some of the music with more technical ability, although there are raw, fresh ideas and sounds coming out of it, you know, that new colors and textures that, you know, would like to and will incorporate in my music when I can find a way, when it becomes a part of me, you know, when I've absorbed it long enough to put it out without just liking it and putting it on like
well, you can put your own
like
original stamp
like pink
on
and
it,
gray, you know, like a banner of a, you know, without just taking it on like a trend.
I can see you doing that.
The parts that I like, there are some things that I like a lot, like certain synthesizer sounds, and you know, that I haven't really started to incorporate yet, you know, this, I still see, you know, like, I think the show that we're putting on now is really really good. It's one of the best shows I've ever put on. As far as a balance of emotion, you know, there's lightness, and you know, and it can all be misinterpreted because people like expect you to be a certain way. So you know, if they see me, who perhaps they loved as a you know melancholic damsel in distress, you know, having a good time, sometimes they, that gets, you know, they'll call it guile. You know what I mean? You know, it's like if some kind of Mae West joke rises up in you on stage, and you know, they think, you know, what, you know, you're not supposed to be like that, you know. So.
Well, do you see yourself now more as a jazz artist with a rock orientation subordinate to that, or what? I mean, I have a hard time trying to find labels for you because I have to find some way of describing you now.
Well, it's really tricky, you know. I've always just wanted to, you know, I followed my own interests, you know, like having, you know, starting in folk music, because it was like, I'm going to A-B you here.
Okay.
because it was, I could master it. It was easy to, it was a good place of departure. It was simple, portable, you know. And then with that next evolution into folk rock, right, which just simply is adding pieces, rock wouldn't go with my music too well. It had to, the rhythms of it and the harmonies were, the colors of it were different, you know. So I ended up playing with jazz musicians, but it wasn't really jazz that I was making. It was neither nor, and it wasn't even fusion, which was something else which had more funk roots in it, or, you know, had different tributaries leading into it. So that was a confusing period. What is this music, they thought? Well, it was just simply playing with musicians who could hear certain things that was part of the music that came out of me, right? Then the Mingus Project was a pure jazz invitation, you know, and that was a real baptism in a certain thing. And on the other side of that, a lot of the vocal, having to put words and sing old sax solos and things, and my voice started working, picked up some jazz singers' colorations, more jazz players actually than jazz vocalists, I think. A lot of things I do maybe come off of Miles or a saxophone player, you know, like more than Ella, like I don't scat like you know, all that stuff, but, you know, and then the next thing, you know, I'm trying to bring it now, like, because rock and roll got interesting again to me, back into the rock and roll arena, but it is still kind of sophisticated, and that's where, like, a lot of people get annoyed, because it's sophisticated. Like, I saw one review in L.A. where they said, if you want real sophistication, you go and see Frank Sinatra or Ella Fitzgerald or Mel Torme, you know. Then they had, I mean, it was kind of a silly article in a way. Then they had the next column with pseudo-sophisticates, in which they included, Sending the Cloud Sontag, and Ricky Lee Jones in the same breath. Then they had a third category, in which they lumped Elvis Costello and I, you know, for, you know, I couldn't really understand what he was getting at, but my point is that for some reason, often people seem they it's like any church, you know, like it's like churches, it's like you're either Baptist or you're Catholic or you're this or you're that.
Yeah.
It's like racial hybrids, you know, like, you know, you're either Jewish or you're black or you're this or you're that. If you're mutt, you know that you're an American, maybe, but, you know, hybrids to me are like kind of interesting, you know, they're kind of beautiful things, like racial mixes and so on. So what I'm messing around with is mixing a lot of things together and you know, to greater and lesser successes. Some people are better than others, you know, but trying, you know, hopefully trying to find, like, you know, a pure idiom to come out of it.
Do you see this album as your most successful attempt at that? I mean, it has a lot of everything that you've ever done in it.
I never thought of it that way. You know, I think that, you know, the other things are successful for different reasons, you know, like Is Era to me is a good album from, you know, all the way through, or Court and Spark is too, you know, they're all, you gotta take the time that they were made into consideration and the influences that were distilled at that time to make those pieces, you know, Kodo music, like Back Around the Time of Blue, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that come in and, you know, and sit there and then come back out again.
Mm-hmm.
But to make music in this time period, the Police, okay, there's a good example. They're as jazzy sometimes, you know, as my music gets. They seem to like some of the same mm-hmm. kinds of voicing. They can get it minimal enough that people still recognize it as rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're pretty good writers. The content of their things, you know, just good and simply presented. I love a lot of their stuff, you know.
Yeah? Goo Goo Goo.
I love that song.
I love that song. When I first started, it got played too much on the radio, but I really loved it.
I was like, God, I haven't heard a song that knocked me out like that. When I heard it about that time, mm-hmm. I'd run and turn up a radio, or wherever I heard it, it would, like, just
It was a perfect
action.
Baby talk song.
Yeah, and, you know, what it was saying, if you listen to the lyrics, was really smart, too, you know, like, politicians, poets, you know, people,
mm-hmm.
Trying to seduce you, like, with rhetoric and so on, and that's all well and fine, but all I have to say to you is,
goo, goo, goo.
Do, do, do.
Yeah. I'm still interested in your painting. You keep making references. You know, I noticed years ago things that I read about you make references to visual painting with words, and you keep making references to phases and the progression, or however you want to call it, evolution of painting and music. And I'm wondering what you want to do with your painting now, where you want to go with that.
Well, it's still, you know, I'm still doing the same thing. I'm, you know, I'm trying to synthesize interests. You know, I like this from over here. I'm eclectic, so to try and, you know, to me, I haven't had enough time to really develop, but, you know, I've got a good piece here, or, you know, something I think is successful, but I haven't really found my voice, I don't think yet. I think I'm still student to a certain degree, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Do you ever think you'll slide into that later on?
Oh, yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I've been sliding in it all the way along. In the last mm-hmm. 3 years, I've spent more time in it than I have before, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. You have a great setup. You can do your own album covers.
Right?
That's a great setup. Do you have your canvases at your house? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Really? I bet that's amazing. I was thinking about what you do with the jazz orchestration in your songs is kind of like painting to me. You know, you painted in your earlier songs, you painted with words, and then when you started moving into jazz, it felt to me like you were painting, that those jazz sounds were colors as well. It kind of, and my main job at the Statesman is as a dance critic,
right.
And Martha Graham's work has been described as the landscape of the unconscious. I don't know if you've heard that quote about her, but I have a whole lot. And that's kind of how I thought about how you do your jazz as well. There's sounds from real deep within, is what I'm saying.
And like Wayne Shorter, you know, like,
uh-huh.
I love working with him, because, you know, for that reason, in that he draws well. Like, he's like, to me, he's like a great painter. He draws well, like, his lines, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, to me, music is like audio lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when he draws a line through the air or against the texture background of other instruments, which is like spattering, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way he draws it, you know, shapes it and bends it and,
mm-hmm.
you know, where he stops it, his sense of design is really good, but also he's very witty. So that he'll take a lyric and paint, like, it's where he can actually do figurative painting with a linear horn, you know, with a linear instrument. To me,
mm-hmm.
like, if I say people don't know how to love, like on DeCruel, he goes, like this, it sounds
mm-hmm.
like a male voice arguing,
mm-hmm.
and
then yeah.
a high female voice argues back,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
he makes
now
all
what, these... Now, what song is this?
On DeCruel.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And there's another place in that, too, where it says, you know, like, where I go up to a high note talking about how I'm not going to lose my cool, and right at the peak of that high note, you just think phrase into this, like, maniacal, like, losing it note.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, just this comic shriek.
Mm-hmm.
And then, immediately, like, he regains his cool, and he plays, you know, this real, like, not silk stockings, but, quote, like, it's like of a tender entreaty to a woman, right? And it's got a real comic release, because it's like, you know, it's almost like Laurel and Hardy to me, but it's done. Now, that's another kind of that's another kind of musician, you know, like, or even among the painters, when you get all the, not that many had it all, you know, they'd have the passion or the guts, or they'd have the ability, the draftsmanship with a certain sterility, or, you know, but like, to have the improvisational thing, the freeness, the gut level, the cerebral tenderness, you know, the full emotional spectrum, and then the wit.